Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text Number 61. Kandarpa Iva Sandarye.
Kandarpa Iva Sandarye.
Manasvi Vigaradiva.
Manasvi Vigaradiva.
Vatsalye Manurina.
Vatsalye
and defeat their contention with the absolute truth
that the absolute truth is impersonal. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ideal self-controller of Brahmachari. When Krishna was elected to be president of Rajasya Yajna for Pandava Rajadishya, grandfather Bhishma praised Lord Krishna as the greatest Brahmachari. Because grandfather Bhishma was a Brahmachari, he was quite quick to distinguish a Brahmachari from a Vyabhichari. Although Prithu Maharaj was a householder and father of five children, he was still considered to be most controlled. One who begets Krishna conscious children for the benefit of humanity is actually a Brahmachari. One who simply begets children like cats and dogs is not a proper father. The word Brahmachari also refers to one who acts on the platform of Brahman or devotional service. In the impersonal Brahman conception, there is no activity. Yet, when one performs activities in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is known to be a Brahmachari. Thus, Prithu Maharaj was an ideal Brahmachari and Grihastha simultaneously. Vivak Sena Anuvartishu refers to those devotees who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. Other devotees must follow in their footsteps. Srila Narottam Das Thakur said, "Ekhaya Gosani Yahya Muni Kaya Kasa." He is prepared to become the disciple of anyone who follows in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Also, like all Vaishnavas, Maharaj Prithu was devoted to caste protection, spiritual master and qualified Brahmanas. Prithu Maharaj was also very humble, meek and gentle, and whenever he performed any philanthropic work or welfare activity for the general public, he would labor exactly as if he was tending to his own personal necessities. In other words, his philanthropic activities were not for the sake of show, but were performed out of personal feeling and commitment. All philanthropic activities should be thus performed. Om Agyan Kumiran Dhasya Gyanan Jana Shalaya Kakshuru Guru Chavela Tasma Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sabitam Vena Chitani Sanyipa Kadamaya Utadakni Swapadamitam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advai Kadadara Shubhasani Gaudu Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, in this chapter entitled Prithu Maharaj Meeting with the Kumaras, we see that there are so many qualities of Maharaj Prithu mentioned that it feels like he is a reservoir of good qualities. Whether it comes to his administration or whether it comes to his and being in as an individual or as a devotee, he's all perfect. And this is also was predicted initially when Maharaj Prithu and Archi had just appeared from churning the body of King Vena. Then the professional reciters were already glorifying them as glorifying him especially as being having all the qualities of the demigods. They were specifying individually how he has all those different qualities of the demigods and also other individual qualities as being a perfect administrator and a total devotee. So in this way, we see that Maharaj Prithu is a reservoir of good qualities. And Srila Prabhupada actually mentioned that a devotee can acquire all good qualities of demigods. So how is that possible? That is only possible if we engage in devotional service, which starts the process of purification of the heart, and that's how slowly, slowly all the anarthas diminish and we develop good qualities. So Prithu Maharaj was a great devotee. He was so great that the Lord himself was fond of him. It was, I think, in chapter 19 when Lord Vishnu himself came to his arena to visit him, where he was doing the yagya, the horse sacrifice. And when Lord Indra stole one of his horses and he couldn't do the last 100th horse sacrifice, then Lord Vishnu himself came to visit him. And it is mentioned there that he comes and he blesses Maharaj Prithu, he instructs Maharaj Prithu, and not only that, he showers affection on Maharaj Prithu. In one shloka it is mentioned that Maharaj Prithu he's asked to get benedictions from the Lord. And Maharaj Prithu says, I don't want anything else, but give me millions of years so that I can hear your Harikatha, I can hear your glorification, which is unlimited. There is unlimited, you know, vasans of the Lord and glorification of the Lord. So in this way, Maharaj Prithu was a great devotee of the Lord. And it is mentioned also that when all these loving exchanges took place, after that, Lord Vishnu was about to leave. But he still stayed. He was in no rush to go. Why? Because it was so sweet. It was so sweet, that exchange was so sweet, that he wanted to spend a little bit more time with his devotees. That is how it's very interesting that the Lord is in no rush. You see? That's what Srila Prabhupada says. He says, do something. He says, don't expect the Lord to come and visit you. Do something don't want to see the Lord. Don't have the desire to see the Lord, but do something that the Lord wants to come and see you. So this is one example where Maharaj Prithu has actually shown with his profound character and his qualities that the Lord has come to see him, has visited him, and he's staying there for him. And then Maharaj Prithu is in tears. Tears are flowing from his eyes. And the Lord again says, what benediction, you ask for some benediction to Maharaj Prithu. When he says, my dear Lord, you grant whatever you think is in my benefit. And the Lord then grants him bhakti or devotion. So he is so fortunate that by his great strength of character and by his good divine qualities, he has attracted the mercy of the Lord, and he got the best benediction. He got the benediction of pure devotional service. So he is an expert devotee, but there is one quality he has. So there are 9 processes of devotional service. And Maharaj Prithu has mastered one of them. So Prahlad Maharaj in Canto 7 mentions, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Badasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Iti Pumsakata Vishnu Bhakti Shainavalakshana Create Bhagavati Yada Tanmanya Gitam Uttamam. So Create Bhagavati Yada. One follows these 9 processes of devotional services, or one of them is considered Uttamam, is considered the best devotee. So out of these, Prithu Maharaj was an expert. He was of course engaged in all of them, but he perfected one of them, which was Archanam, deity worship. He used to worship the deity of the Lord in the temple with all the elaborate paraphernalia, with whatever he had at his disposal, he was giving it to the Lord. So you see, although the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga is chanting the holy names of the Lord, but yet we see that we have deity worship. So one might say, why engage in deity worship? Because that was the Yuga Dharma for another Yuga, for Dwapara Yuga. We can just chant the holy names of the Lord, and in fact, we can go back to Godhead. But we see that the 4 yugas have different yuga dharmas. So it becomes from subtle to it became a bit more gross, depending on the conditioning of, as the conditioning became more gross for us individuals. So then in the satyuga, there was meditation with austerity. Devotees of the Lord would go to the forest and perform great austerities and meditate on the Lord. And then there was yajnas and sacrifices. So the Lord was worshipped as in yajnas, in the fire. The fire of the yajnas included the mouth of Lord Vishnu. And we offer oblations to Lord Vishnu. And we make offerings through the fire. So in this way, in that yuga, it was very conducive to do sacrifices and you get the benefit. So you become purified. And then in Dwapara Yuga, there was deity worship in the temples. It was extremely elaborate. And now in Kali Yuga, we follow the chanting of the holy name. But yet, we see that Srila Prabhupada But even when he went to the West, once the devotees were a little bit educated about Krishna and about rules and regulations, he introduced deity worship. So you see that first in 26th century, and then in San Francisco, he actually asked Shyamananda Prabhu to create big deities of Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra. So the minute he felt that his disciples were ready, he introduced deity worship. And not only that, even our Goswamis, whether it is Rupa Goswami, he had the deity of Govindaji, or Sanatana Goswami, he had Balaramanji, and then Gopal Goswami, Radharaman. So in this way, all our Goswamis also had deities. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Radha Gokula Nanda, Acharyas. So even Acharyas and the Goswamis had deities. So then, although the Yuga Dharma is chanting the holy names of the Lord, why did they still have deities? So then, it is mentioned in the scriptures that there are two ways, there are two margas given in the scripture. That one is the Bhagavat Marg, Bhagavat Vidhi Marg, which is the hearing and chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And another is Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg, which is deity worship, elaborate worship of the deities according to the rules and regulations. And Srila Prabhupada then explains why deity worship. He says that that Bhagavad Vidhi Marg and Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg are like the two sides of a track on which a train runs. And he says they are both necessary in Kali Yuga for us to progress in devotional life. So he says that while deity worship is very elaborate and it has a lot of rules and regulations, it gives us the benefit of purifying us. You see, if you think that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned that we should chant the holy names of the Lord, he actually introduced or he reignited the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names. So he said, chant the holy names of the Lord. So are we chanting the holy names the way he wanted us to chant? No, because the heart is full of anarthas, anger, envy, pride. So when they are sitting in the heart, then it is not possible to chant the holy names the way Mahaprabhu wanted us to chant. You see, so that is why to be able to chant, to be able to come to that level of that quality of chanting, then we need to engage in deity worship. So for example, you can think, okay, you should get up in the morning and chant your rounds. But you may get lazy and may think, okay, I can sleep in a little bit and chant later. But if you have to dress the deities in the morning, you know you're on the roster and you have to be there, will you sleep in? You know you have to be there, there's no excuse, you just have to get up, get in there, and even if you're tired, you have had good sleep or bad sleep, it doesn't matter, you just have to do it. You see, so what deity worship does is it forces discipline into your life. Initially it seems hard, but slowly and slowly, as we get attached to the deities, then we do it out of love for the deities. We look forward to it. You see? So, and paraphernalia of the Lord. We are concerned about what paraphernalia we need for the Lord. Cooking for the Lord. The meditation is more on, it shifts from what we want to eat to what the Lord likes. What does Lord Jagannath like to eat? What is Radharani's favorite dish? How can you please God with that? You see, we develop that mood. So Srila Prabhupada says that when we worship deity in this way, then the focus shifts from the self to Krishna. So instead of self-centered, we become Krishna-centered. And then we are concerned about cooking for him, cleaning for him, about his dresses. And then we are fixed about time. We know we only have only this much time. By this time, the bhoga offering of the Lord should be ready. So we are stressing. So we are in anxiety. So we are taking anxiety not for ourselves but for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said that even if you have to buy anxiety for Krishna, you get it somehow. Because that will purify you. You see, because that pleases Krishna, that you are actually worried about him. You are running around to get his paraphernalia ready, to get his bhoga offering ready. So in this way, deity worship is full of rules and regulations. So you see, we can do deity worship, but if we follow the rules and regulations, then we become purified. But even while doing deity worship, if we still want to follow our own mind, then it doesn't give us so much benefit. So the whole idea of the rules and regulations is to make us regulate, to make us disciplined, and also to develop affection to the Lord. So it is mentioned in Ishtopanishad that the Lord, by coming in the deity form, has done a great favor to us. You see, because we, the sinful jivas of Kali Yuga, we are not so pure that we can see the Lord face to face. But the Lord is so merciful that He allows us to worship Him in form of a deity. But then Srila Prabhupada mentions very clearly that the deity form of the Lord is non-different from the Lord Himself. And then it is not just the chanting of the mantras, it is also the kirtan. We do kirtan to please the Lord. Right? And then we also do sankirtan. You go out and you do book distribution and you bring new people to the temple and they take darshan of the Lord. So that is also part of preaching, that is also part of pleasing the Lord. So you can please the Lord not only by dressing Him and cooking for Him and chanting for Him, but also bringing other devotees, other people to the temple who can then see the form of the Lord. So in this way, the focus shifts from ourselves to the Lord. And out of all these, cleanliness is specifically emphasized by Srila Prabhupada. He says, cleanliness is next to godliness. And it is also mentioned how the brahmanas in serving, then you also must be freshly bathed and freshly washed clothes. And then you also, if you by accidentally again touch your skin or touch your face or your hair, you again need to wash your hands. So in this way we become very conscious. So Prabhupada says that the more detail, the more attention we pay to detail, that means the more concerned we are about the Lord. And this is what is called love, that we are loving and caring towards the Lord. So cleanliness, actually these vows of cleanliness, of punctuality, of being cleanliness of the mind. Srila Prabhupada says we should not only be clean in the body, but we should also be clean in the mind. So a devotee should be truthful, should be honest, and not deceitful with other devotees, not diplomatic. So these good qualities will keep our mind clean. And so cleanliness is, it also protects us. The vows of cleanliness also protect us. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a pastime of Nala and Damayanti. You see, in that pastime, Nala was a great king and Damayanti was his chaste wife. But one time he neglected to wash his hands and feet after passing water. And then, just that moment, Kali entered him. Kali entered his body and wrecked his entire life. He ended up losing his kingdom and he was forced to give up his wife because he was living in the forest in complete poverty. So in this way, just this small mistake of not following the strict vow of cleanliness completely wrecked his life. And there is also the pastime of Diti and Kashyapa Muni. You see, Diti was very grieved that Indra, all the demigods, had driven away all the demons. They had defeated all the demons and the demon was just happy. So Diti was very upset and he had asked Kashyapa Muni if he could give her some, tell her some special vows that she could follow so that she could have a child who would defeat the demigods again and then the demons can be in power. Their supremacy can be restored. So then Diti was performing these severe austerities, fasting and chanting and getting up early in the morning, minimal eating and minimal sleeping. So once she was really tired, and Indra was trying to see, Indra saw this, and Indra was worried. You see, he was thinking that another demon would be born, and then again they would have to, it would be a threat to their heavenly kingdoms. So then Indra was always looking for a moment how he could break her vows, how he could somehow get her to violate those strict vows that she was following, so that then her vrata wouldn't complete, her austerities wouldn't be completed, then she wouldn't get what she wants. But Diti was very strict and she was following them day after day. However, one day, She was extremely tired and she neglected to wash her hands and feet after eating. So she had prasadam and she was feeling extremely tired, so she just lied down after eating. And that moment, Indra was able to damage the child in her womb. You see, in this way, you see how cleanliness actually protects us. These vows of cleanliness and austerity, they actually protect us from being harmed. And not only in this sense, but even in Ayurveda, it is actually mentioned that if you don't wash your feet and a little bit of your legs, your arms up to your hands up to your elbows, and you don't rinse your mouth thoroughly. So these three things, your hands, your feet, and your mouth, you must wash after eating. And if you don't, then subtle entities like ghosts and spirits can enter your body and they can disturb you. So cleanliness is actually very important. So especially, and then what to talk of when passing water or passing stool, we have to make sure we maintain extreme cleanliness. Taking the shower twice a day, if possible three times a day for the Brahmanas, it is mentioned in scriptures, which is very necessary. Because then these vows that we follow, they protect us. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in Nectar of Devotion chapter 9 that deity worship is so powerful that especially he recommends it for grihasthas. He says that grihasthas are actually not able to follow a lot of austerities, you see, and then they tend to become slack in their devotional life. So the best way for them is to have deities at home. Srila Prabhupada says devotees must have deities at home. If you can serve in the temple, that's very nice. But then also you should have deities at home, because that will ensure that you have the Lord in the house and you're conscious of the fact that the Lord is residing in your house. And then when you cook, you will be thinking, oh, what do I have to eat? What do I need? What do I want to eat? No, you will think, what should I cook for the Lord? What should I cook for the Lord today? When should I dress the Lord? You see? So similarly also, if you have to go away somewhere, if you're traveling, you make plans. Whether you can take the Lord with you or whether you can leave them with a friend. So you're thinking about the Lord all the time. So it is a house. You're living in a grihastha ashram, but it becomes Krishna centered grihastha ashram. And so further in the Nectar of Devotion chapter 13, there is a process mentioned which is called Archana Siddhi. Now Archana Siddhi is a process, it says, which actually brings perfection in devotional life. It's actually a way of doing deity worship, which Srila Prabhupada mentions can take you back home, back to Godhead. And Archana Siddhi basically is nothing but just that you worship the deity at home according to the rules and regulations you have set one time. And you do not change them. Not that one time you decide to offer the bhoga three times a day, you become enthusiastic, you have new deities, then you introduce some rules. But after some time you become slack and you barely offer the Lord bhoga one time a day, and then sometimes not even that. So that is not acceptable. Srila Prabhupada mentions, in fact, in one letter to one of the disciples who had actually inquired from him, because what had happened was in one of the temples, there were not enough brahmanas, pujaris, to maintain. So the temple president asked if we could just stop deity worship. And he said deity worship is not a joke. It's not just an idea that you suddenly come up with and then suddenly you decide to give it up when you can't keep up. He said when you start doing deity worship, that means Krishna is personally residing there, is present there. So now when he's once present there and you're offering him bhoga, he's actually alive, he's right there with you. And then suddenly, because you don't have enough manpower or for whatever reason, you cannot stop. Srila Prabhupada says, you cannot ask Krishna to go away. Okay, Krishna, now we can't serve you, so now you go away. So he chastised. He said, no, you cannot do that. So when you have deities, you should make sure that don't become over enthusiastic, don't set very high standards at home, set reasonable standards, and then you worship them accordingly. And once you become comfortable with those standards, then you can improve. So the standard can go up, not down. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. And he says, when householders, they stick to this routine, then the entire home becomes purified,
the body and mind of the family members become purified. And in this way, they can actually make a lot of spiritual progress. So in the worship, in the temple, there's a lot of paraphernalia of the Lord that is used to worship the Lord and for the pleasure of the Lord. Like for example, when you see that the deities are worshipped here at 7 o'clock, they blow the conch. The first is, and the last item of the process is that they blow a conch. So the conch shell is blown to drive away all inauspiciousness. So we serve the Lord, not that the Lord can be influenced by any bad influences, he's the Supreme Lord, but because we serve him in the mood of the servant, and as a servant we want to take care of him, we want to look after him. So in that sense, we blow the conch to drive away all inauspiciousness. And then we ring the bell. And it is mentioned that the bell contains all divine music. It is full of all divine music, and the sound of the bell is very dear to the Lord. That is why we ring the bell. And the ghee lamps. The ghee lamps are like we are showing the way. We are showing the way to the Lord by with the light of the ghee lamps. And offering him water is like offering out of respect. When somebody is at a place, you offer them water, you show them respect. And when you offer them the handkerchief, you're offering him new cloth. So, and then the chamras and the peacock feather, they indicate that you're wanting to do service to them. So you do service to them in that way. And then of course, there is kirtan of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that when the worship of the Lord is going on in this way, then it is very official to see the Lord being worshipped with all this paraphernalia. And he says, millions and millions lifetimes worth of your sinful reactions are destroyed if you see the Lord being worshipped like this in the temple. And he also says that we should do kirtan for the pleasure of the Lord. And Rupa Goswami mentions in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says in Canto 3, Chapter 25, Verse 35, he mentions the five items of devotional service that Rupa Goswami mentions: residing in Mathura, worshipping the Lord, which is like the deity worship. So that is one of the most important items: reading Srimad Bhagavatam and serving the devotees and chanting Hare Krishna. So these are the five items that Rupa Goswami mentions are important, and deity worship is one of them. So in this way, we see that worshipping the deity of the Lord, whether it is at the temple or it is at home, it keeps us busy and it gives us anxiety. And that is what is the purpose of us doing the worship of the Lord, that when the mind and the senses are engaged in serving the Lord, then slowly and slowly we develop attachment to the Lord. You see, because when we come in front of the deity, what happens? We're so used to seeing them. We want to see them more and more. And when we see them more and more, then we become attached to them. And when we serve them more, then also we become attached to them. So in this way, this is the whole process, this is the whole idea behind deity worship, that we become more and more attached to them. So you see, this is how we can't obviously be as elaborate as Maharaj Prithvi. But Srila Prabhupada says, whatever your capacity is, whatever your level of service is, maintain that and improve that. And slowly and slowly, you will make progress. Today is also the disappearance day of Mukunda Datta. So I'll just briefly speak on that. So Mukunda Datta is one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mukunda Datta was born in Chattagram in the jurisdiction of Patia district, which is 20 miles away from where Pundarik Vidyanidhi used to live. So, and Mukunda Datta and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are actually classmates. So they were, when they were young, they used to study together. In the Gaura Ganadish Tipika, it is mentioned that in Braj Vrindavan Dham, there are two very sweet melodious singers, two gopis, who would sing very melodiously. And their names were Madhukanta and Madhurata. So then these two devotees, these two gopis, then became Mukunda Datta and Vasudev Datta. They descended as Mukunda Datta and Vasudev Datta in the
pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So Mukunda Datta is known for a very melodious, sweet voice. And he not only had melodious voice, he was also a great devotee. So he could actually tune into Mahaprabhu's heart. He could actually feel what Mahaprabhu wants to hear, and he would sing in that tune and that particular Krishna Kirtan. So in this way, Mukunda Datta would always enliven the senses of Mahaprabhu. And because Mukunda Datta and Mahaprabhu were always were classmates, they were together, and then they would also engage in logical arguments, because Mukunda Datta was also a great logician. But Mahaprabhu would always play tricks on him and defeat him, because that's Mahaprabhu's nature. He likes to have arguments with his devotees. So that's what he would do. He would always engage in some. He would also first raise a question, and then Mukunda Datta would get involved in that logic, and then he would himself defeat that logic. And then Mukunda Datta would, of course, know that he is the Supreme Lord. So in this way, Mukunda and Mahaprabhu had nice, sweet pastime together. So when Mukunda Datta would often sing in the courtyard of Srivas Prabhu, we know that in Srivas Anand, Mahaprabhu used to go a lot, and there they used to have their discussions with the devotees. And there, when Mukunda used to sing, then Mahaprabhu used to dance in ecstasy. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to take sannyas, then Mukunda was present there, and he did kirtan while Mahaprabhu's sannyas ceremony was going on. So Mukunda was in this way very intimately associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when then Mukunda was, although when he was in the association of devotees, he would talk about Krishna, but sometimes he would go in the association of non-devotees. And that time Mayavad was very prevalent. So he would sometimes go and hear Mayavad philosophy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very disturbed by this slight inclination that he had. So he was angry with Mukunda. So then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing his Mahaprakash Leela, then he was calling out each and every devotee individually and blessing them. But Mukunda knew that Mahaprabhu is angry with him. So he was standing outside the door and he was waiting there. And he was watching all this. But he couldn't dare to enter because he knew Mahaprabhu was angry with him. But the devotees are very merciful. So they mentioned to Mahaprabhu that Mukunda is waiting outside for you. And Mahaprabhu said, I will not see him now. I am not pleased with him at all because of his association with the Mayavadis. But Mukunda understood that he will not see him now, but maybe later Mahaprabhu will see him. So he was just the very thought that maybe someday Mahaprabhu will bless him, he went into excess. He was greatly pleased. And then when Mahaprabhu was sure that the slight inclination in him to associate with Mayavadis is no more there, then Mahaprabhu also called him inside and blessed him. So in this way, Mukunda Datta had this great opportunity to associate with Mahaprabhu and get the blessings of Mahaprabhu. So Mukunda Datta's Samadhi is also in that 64 Samadhi area in Vrindavan. And that's where he has been finally going. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then had actually moved to Puri, then Mukunda used to go every year to Jagannath Puri to visit the Lord, to take his darshan. Can we end here? Any questions or comments or statements? It does support our chanting. You see, because it is not that it is not enough. Actually, Prabhupada mentions that just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can go back home, back to Godhead. Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in itself is full and complete to take us back into Godhead. But the process of deity worship is like, it gives it a boost, right? It just gives it a boost. So you can chant, but then like it is mentioned that are we chanting at the level at which Mahaprabhu wants us to chant? That level has to come and that will take time. But it is also mentioned that if you just merely chant the holy names of the Lord, that is, it is also possible that slowly and slowly you can reach that level. But then all these activities also must be like hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in a holy place, serving the devotees, and deity worship, that they will actually boost your process. So they're all complementing and supporting each other. And you see, out of all these activities, chanting attentively is the most challenging for us devotees, isn't it? So for that, we do need support. And deity worship is not just dressing the deity, it is also involves, as Prabhupada mentioned, cooking for the deities, cleaning the kitchen for the deities. So sweat it out for Krishna, work hard for Krishna in any way, and that is considered deity worship. It is not just specifically dressing or cooking, but all the other attached activities like cleanliness is mentioned part of Brahminical qualities and it is part of deity worship. So cleaning the temple room, cleaning the kitchen, and go and have a look at the condition of the kitchen after a festival, after Sunday feast. So devotees are doing that, they're very glorious, they're very dear to the Lord. So it's not that the Lord only sees those who are in front of Him, He actually sees those who are working in the background also. So this is how it is. But yes, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in itself is complete and powerful in itself. Anything else? Yes.
Prabhu Maharaj acted in the Satya Yuga in the process of meditation. However, he did 99 parts, Ashwamedha sacrifices and all that until the process of the next Yuga, Treta Yuga. How is that? But also you mentioned that he did deity worship, which was the Dvapara Yuga process, which he also acted in the Satya Yuga.
So you see, these Yuga cycles, first of all, you need to understand that in Srimad Bhagavatam, the chronological order is not followed. So what is followed is whatever the questions are asked and based on devotional service. You see, even the descendants of those kings I mentioned who have actually become great devotees, and we can learn some lessons from them. See? So in that sense, the chronological order is not very strictly followed. But then we also understand that Prithu Maharaj was a pure devotee of the Lord. So he cannot be strictly bound by what was the Yuga Dharma of that particular age. So you see, you understand in that sense. So he engaged in this and one process and then another process also. So he could do it. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. Is that okay?
Yes. Just to summarize what you said, the reason we do deity worship in Kali Yuga is to find first discipline in our life, like wake up early, and also to procure items for the service of the Lord, and enforce cleanliness, and that's what we're doing.
Yes, that's the idea, that we worship in the deity of the Lord. Because chanting, our chanting can really behave. You can sometimes, okay, I will chant in the morning, or I'll chant in the afternoon. You can give yourself the flexibility. But when you have to worship the deity, then you know, okay, even if your deity is at home, you need to wake them up. Say, for example, you have a routine, you want to wake them up at 6 in the morning. So you would do that. You can't sleep in. You have to wake up and then wake them up and then offer them some dhupatti and then feed them some fruits and milk and then later on some breakfast, some lunch. So this will give you a routine. And why Srila Prabhupada says for Grihastha is very important, because it is a very dangerous ashram. He says in this ashram there can be more of a tendency to become slack, to fall down. So that is why it is very important for the masters to have duties at home and do duties at home. And then follow whatever standards you have set. Okay. Yes,
Krishna. Why
don't
we get the duties because
they're not Krishna-related? We do, see. We're making progress every day, Krishna. But you see, to the extent that you see, for example, just imagine that your heart is like a cup. And the cup is full of all sorts of different things. So then there is no room for bhakti. Krishna, in a moment, you can actually become fully perfected devotee and you can get pure love. the cup of our heart is full of anger, envy, pride, and all these anarthas. So there is no room for the bhakti to penetrate. You see? So we can only get as much as we have the capacity to get, right? But what happens is when you see the deity in the temple every day, slowly and slowly that capacity increases. Yeah? So slowly and slowly we can absorb more from the Lord, we can take more. And then we can become. Yes? Okay, so then here, Ganta Shimon House and Key.